Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here this morning. You made a good choice. Not because I'm here, but because this is where God is today. Amen? Let's go in our Bibles to Hosea 14, verse 9. Hosea 14, verse 9. Here's what it says. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them. But transgressors stumble in them or stumble over them. So who is wise? It's those who know the ways of the Lord. And I tell you what, the ways of God are often surprising to us. Why? Because we think God is like us. We think God thinks the way we think. We think that his standards are mirroring our standards. Because what we think is right, we think God thinks is right. What we think is wrong, we think God thinks is wrong. But I tell you what, God has attitudes about faith that would surprise you. You think you know what faith is all about. God has an attitude about faith that is different than most people think. For example, this might surprise you. God does not respond to need. Oh, but I need this. I need that. They need so much. How can I say that God doesn't respond to need? God responds to faith. If God responded to need, then Haiti wouldn't be the poor, depressed nation that it is. Those people are needy, and God would raise them up, seeing their great need, or any other impoverished nation or impoverished group of people. God responds to faith. See, that surprises a lot of people. In fact, there's probably some people right now going, I don't know about that. But it's incredible. God has an attitude that would surprise you about strong praise and worship. You know, in a lot of churches, if you go more than one or two songs, they think that's really crazy. We did a half an hour or so of worship here this morning. And I tell you, God's not tired of it. God wants more. You might be tired of it, but you see, we don't always think like God thinks. God has strong attitudes about praise and worship. And God has a strong attitude and a different attitude than most of us about honor, reverence, and protocol. In Romans 13:7, the Bible says, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Honor to whom honor is due. See, the average Christian thinks that honor, reverence, and protocol are insignificant to God. Because we think, again, God is like us. I mean, we like to be casual, right? We like to be very loose and free. And this whole thing about honor and reverence and protocol seems a little stifling to us. But I'll tell you, God thinks that honor and reverence and protocol are significant, are important. American culture knows almost nothing, it seems, about honor these days. It's a very disrespectful culture that we live in. In fact, I believe that the American culture knows less than most every other culture in the world. I think it's part of the way that our mindset has been programmed. We're individuals. We're free. We don't bow to any person. In the past 40 or 50 years, American culture has really shown alarming signs of decay, particularly in this aspect. We are becoming an increasingly uncivil society. Would you agree? I mean, just look around. Watch the news. Watch the disrespect that are shown to authority in these days. It's frightening if you really look at it. Look at the music world and what they're producing. Look at sports. I mean, it's always nothing but in-your-face, mean-spirited trash talk. movies and TV and media, politics. It's all becoming a very uncivil society. Now, as the church, we always want to guard against the world encroaching into the church. But I think we can see the world is encroaching into the church when it comes to a worldly disrespect that is filtering in to our bodies, into the church bodies. The counterculture revolution of the 1960s, I believe, it might seem strong, but I believe it was just a satanic. I believe it was from the pits of hell. You know, there are a lot of people who say, well, it was a great time. We were on a great quest in the 60s. You know, love, peace, and rock and roll. No, they were on drugs. It wasn't a great time. It wasn't a great quest. And it was a great decay of our social morals and our sense of honor and reverence. The Bible says when the foundation is eroded, or it says actually this in Psalm 11:3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? I mean, number one, we're praying for revival. Amen? See those foundations restored. But when a foundation is eroded, when a foundation is destroyed, it is very difficult even for the righteous to do anything in that society. Pray for our country. Pray for our culture. I believe the counterculture of the 60s, that revolution, was demonic. And our country needs to repent from that whole decade. We need to move beyond some of the mindset that was, well, it kind of took root in our people. Many of the philosophies that were spawned in the drug culture are completely contrary to the Bible. And we as believers, we need to line up with what the Bible says and not the culture. We need to stand firm on what truth is and maintain those foundations. Amen? Now, this is all sounding pretty dire, I know. I'm just wanting to paint the picture of what culture is now and how we need to overcome it and fight against it in our own lives and in our own churches. This message is one that really is better. Hello, there. Am I still working? This is a message that is best suited for a guest speaker. Because when I talk about honor, or when someone talks about honor, oftentimes you get skeptics out there who will think, oh, well, he's just trying to puff himself up. So it's better that I'm doing this rather than our pastor, because we don't want skeptics to be thinking that way, right? So I'm going to share on honor and how that plays out and how it should be a part of the life that we're living as we follow Jesus. First, let's pray. Father, I thank you that we are your people, called by your name, joined together by your Spirit, and we're here gathered for the sole purpose of honoring you, of worshiping you, of honoring your word. And Lord, as I preach from your word, I pray that you help us to see new things or to understand aspects of this topic that have eluded us to this point. Or remind us, Lord God, of what we've once known and allowed to slip in our lives. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So what exactly is honor? Honor is high regard or great respect that is given or received. Right? If you honor somebody, you are showing them high regard and a great respect. Or if they're honoring you, vice versa. Right? That's basically what honor is. Textbook definition. Honor is highly regarding a person's value, their accomplishments, or their position. Think about that. Their value, their accomplishments, or their position. We honor the office oftentimes because a person holds a position that is worthy of honor. We honor the fruit. Accomplishment. Do I need to get the other microphone? Yeah.
I'll switch this one off. There we go. We honor the fruit, the accomplishment that a person might have achieved, because we recognize there was something of value to that. And oftentimes, we also honor the sacrifice that a person has made. And many times, we honor a person because of all three, because of their position and the accomplishments that they have made and the sacrifice that they have made. When we honor someone, we're basically demonstrating by word or deed that person's recognized value. And if we go back into the Old Testament and we look at the word honor, which is there a whole lot, and you study the word that our word honor is derived from, it is the word in Hebrew, kabod. Kabod. And that word literally means weighty. Something that has some substance to it, something that's got weight. And when we honor somebody, we are, in essence, acknowledging their weight, acknowledging their substance, their importance. All right? I tell you, honor is in the Bible, throughout the Bible. The Bible has a lot to say about honor and who we are to honor. And we're going to look a lot at who we are to honor. Honor is 10 times more important than you ever thought it was. It's more important than we think. Again, I think part of our culture has led us to this point where it doesn't seem that important, that it's kind of trivial. But let's take a look at a couple of things. Who are we to honor? Number one, God. I heard somebody say it over there. Obviously, God. If anyone is deserving of respect and honor, certainly it is God. You know, if highly regarding a person's value, a person's accomplishment, or a person's position is what we honor, then honoring God is a no-brainer. Amen? Who else could you honor more, or should you honor more? But you know, I think oftentimes we become too accustomed to God in our lives. We become too complacent about the relationship that we have with God. We become almost too chummy, and we lose an element of respect and honor that we should hold for the God Most High. He is most deserving of our respect. Here's an example. And by the way, as I'm going through this message, and really in any of the messages, I have a tendency to be a bit challenging, okay? I'll point out things, and I know it's easy for us to get into that mindset of, oh, man, I'm failing at this miserably. I'm such a slug. That is not the way you need to look at these messages. The Word talks about it being like a mirror, that a man, a doer of the Word, looks at his face in the mirror, and if he walks away and he doesn't do anything, it's like he forgot all about it. Well, in this case, if you're looking in this mirror as we talk about honor, and you notice, you know, there's a little piece of green stuff in your teeth there, you know, don't just smile away and walk away and do nothing. If there's something there, go ahead and take care of it. You know, if the hair needs a little correction, go ahead and do that. But don't get all bummed out. You know, don't look at yourself in the mirror and go, oh, man, am I ugly as sin. I don't think I can move on. I'm just going to be depressed now and let the devil have his way because I don't care. No, just allow yourself to take a view of who you are and where you are. And if you see something that needs a little correction, just begin to move in that direction. All right? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Agreed? All right. So as we move on, let me challenge you. Proverbs 3:9 says this about the Lord. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Whoa. How do we show honor to God? We tithe. We give of the first of our increase. And I know some people have a difficult time with that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It's very clear. Some people, you know, severely dishonor God on a regular basis. You know, if you made $1,000 last week and you put $10 in the offering today, well, you just dishonored God. I don't know how to soften that, but I mean, that's, if it says to honor him with your first fruits and you fail to do that, well, that's dishonoring to God. Again, I say we sometimes get too chummy with God. Jesus may be your best friend, but don't forget, he is also so much more. So much more. You know, you don't worship your best friend. I mean, in the human sense. If Jesus is your best friend, that's a wonderful place to be. But don't get so comfortable with Jesus that you forget he is God. That he deserves your honor, your respect, your reverence. I'm going to move on. We could spend all day talking about how we honor God. But let's talk about ministry. 1 Timothy 5:17. This says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So how many elders do we have in this room right now? Stand up for me. Elders. If you're an elder, serve as an elder, there they are. Let's honor them. Give them a round of applause, just as a sense of honor. These guys are serving you. Amen? And we need to reverence that. We need to honor them. Guys, stand up again for a moment. And let's thank them again. They're worthy of double honor. Not just your normal, oh, thank you, guys. No, they are worthy of double honor. Amen. See, we grow so comfortable. We know them, whether they're our friends. We hang out with them and tell jokes and eat sloppy joes and all of that because they're just like one of us. But don't forget they're not like one of us in this respect, that they deserve honor. And these guys that just stood up deserve double honor. And what did it say? Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. That brings us to our pastor. For the most part, he's the one who's really laboring in the word and doctrine on your behalf. Amen? And I'll tell you, he does an excellent job. Sometimes he amazes me. I just sit back there and I go, I don't know how he does that week after week after week. Every message is well worth your time and effort to listen to, and oftentimes get the podcast and listen to it again during the week. There's so much depth, and just he puts it in such an enjoyable way. I mean, I don't have to tell you. You know. He deserves honor. You don't understand, and I've been a pastor for a while, you don't understand what really the pastor's life is like. So let me share something with you. I found this little, it's a podcast of sorts, or a blog, written by a guy by the name of Tom Rainer. And he calls it A Day in the Life of a Pastor. So here he is, Day in the Life of a Pastor. It's Thursday morning, and I can see Pastor Ben in this situation. After the midweek Bible study, you know, Wednesday, he's taught on Wednesday. It goes on, and he calls this pastor, Pastor Doug. And he says in the preamble to this, this is a true story taken from the life of a true pastor, but he's changed all the names, of course. So he says, it's Thursday morning after midweek Bible study, the night before. Pastor Doug breathes a sigh of relief. He has a clear calendar, an aberration in his typically busy schedule. Actually, the calendar is not really clear. He has set aside this morning to finish his Sunday sermon. His Bible is open. Study aids are nearby. Minutes after he starts, the phone rings. His assistant tells him about a car accident involving a family in the church. The ambulances are already on the way to the hospital. Pastor Doug leaves his study materials on his desk and he jumps into the car. On the way to the hospital, the assistant calls him again. The entire Godsey family, that's what he calls them, Godsey family. The entire Godsey family of five was in the car. While four of them aren't hurt, Gary, the family's father and husband, is in grave condition. Pastor Doug walks into the waiting room. The family has just learned that their husband and father did not make it. They see their pastor and run to him, sobbing. Pastor Doug is there for them. He stays with the family for 3 hours until he's certain that enough relatives and friends are around to care for them. The morning is gone. Pastor Doug stops by home to see his wife and grab a quick sandwich. While not sure he can return to his sermon preparation, he knows he must fight emotional exhaustion and finish whatever and however he can. He walks back to his office. His assistant apologetically tells him that two different people want to speak with him. Both consider it urgent. Doug meets with the two men. One of them is the church worship leader of the church that he's struggling, or of the church. He is struggling with his ministry and he's considering giving up. For 2 hours, Doug listens, consoles, and attempts to encourage the staff member. The next visitor catches Doug off guard. George is one of the key lay leaders in the congregation. Pastor Doug considers him a friend and a vital part of their leadership. George struggles to speak as he chokes out, "My wife is having an affair." There are no more words for 15 minutes, just tears and sobs. Doug stays with George for 2 hours. They pray. They talk about the next steps that they'll need to take. By that time, it's nearly 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Doug is too drained to attempt to get back to his sermon. Instead, he decides to check his crowded email box. Although he cringes when he sees the name of one sender, he cannot stop himself from opening the message. One of Doug's most frequent critics has two complaints. The first concerns something he said in last Sunday's sermon. The second addresses Doug's failure to visit her sister-in-law who had minor outpatient surgery yesterday. The sister-in-law is not a member of the church, and Doug knew nothing about the surgery. Kind of getting the drift here? What kind of a day you can have? And now it's evening. Pastor Doug shuts the laptop cover and he moves to his car slowly. He'll stop by the house to grab a quick bite to eat. He needs to check in on the Godsley family, and he will stay with them for a while, but he must leave prior to 7:30 when he is to give the invocation for a high school basketball game. Several people seek his attention at the game, so he doesn't get home until after 9 p.m. He goes to his small study in his home, shuts the door. And he begins to cry. This wasn't in my notes. And he begins to cry. Gary Godsey, the father and husband who was killed in the car accident, was Doug's best friend. This was the first chance Doug had to grieve. Thank God not every day as a pastor is like that, and most days are not like that, but there are those days. There are those days when you're pulled in so many different directions, you don't even have time for your own emotions. This is what your pastor may go through. Again, thankfully, not every day. But do you feel now a little more urgency to honor? Can you hold him in a little higher regard if you understand what they deal with on a regular basis? And the key to this is you'll never know. Many of the things that this pastor Doug dealt with in his day, you would never know about. because it all happens in confidentiality. And you see him on Sunday, and he's happy, and he's bright, and he's encouraging, and he's got the word for you. But you don't know what it took to get through that week for him. And you don't understand, I'm always careful to mention this too, you don't understand what the pastor's family goes through. We need to honor these guys. Let me share some sobering statistics with you. 4,000 new churches begin each year. Hallelujah. But the second part of that, 7,000 churches close each year. They're dwindling. Over 1,700 pastors left the ministry every month last year. Not in the year, every month 1,700 pastors leave the ministry. Over 3,500 people a day leave the church. Thanks. 50% of pastors feel so discouraged that they would leave the ministry if they could, but they have no other way of making a living. 50%. 45.5% of pastors say that they've experienced depression or burnout to the extent that they needed to take a leave of absence from ministry. Now, this is not the case for all pastors. You know, those statistics may be at 50%, but it's not 100%. Thank God. Thank God. But the statistics are revealing, aren't they? So how can you help? How can you honor your pastor? How can you add some weight to him as your leader? Pray. Pray for strength, pray for protection, pray for wisdom, pray for guidance, pray for healthy friends. You know, one of the hardest things for pastors is to have a good friendship. Because again, they deal with so many things that you don't know about, and so much of their own personal life can be twisted and turned if you don't have good, loyal friends. Pray for their marriage and for their family. And also remember to pray for the other key leaders of your church. You can pray for inspiration, for anointing. Pray for the leadership team, the unity and the clarity within your body. See, every church is unique. Every church faces their own unique challenges. I mean, we looked at the life of Pastor Doug one day in his life. And that may never happen exactly like that here, but there are unique challenges to this body as well. And it's just a difficult task. The very cool thing is, when you feel that calling, it's the only thing you want to do. You know, it's I assure you, it's Pastor Ben's dream job. You might look at it and go, oh man, I'd never want to be in that spot. But trust me, that's his dream job. All the more, we should honor it. Also, be protective of Pastor Ben. As best you can, don't allow and don't participate in gossip and criticism. Anybody can be an armchair quarterback. Amen? And you know, not every sermon is one that we feel like we've hit out of the park. There are, and believe me, as a pastor, as somebody who preaches, you know when the Spirit was moving and I was just able to get everything out the way I wanted it to, and man, everything just came together. And then there are those days you go, I don't know if anybody got anything out of that one. We understand that, you know, so don't be so nitpicky. Don't participate in gossip. Protect your pastor's reputation. If anybody would say anything discouraging about your pastor to you, you just say, I'm not buying that. I know him better than that. Rather than just grab onto any little piece of juicy whatever somebody might be wanting to start up. Protect him. Protect his time. That can be difficult because there are times when you need him. And he'll be there. I mean, there have been times when I've wanted to meet with him, and I thought, okay, well, I'll give him the heads up, like to meet with him, and I'll expect in a week or two we'll set up some time. And no, it's like, okay, let's do it tomorrow. It's like, well, are you sure? Be respectful of his time because he's torn in a lot of different directions. And try to lift the load that he's carrying rather than adding to it. Again, I don't want to discourage you. If you need help, if you need counsel, if you need his strength, call on it. But be respectful of it and encourage him. Thank him for his work and the ministry that he provides. Thank him for his sacrifice and the sacrifice his family has to go through. Tell him about a specific time when what he did, the sermon that he preached, or some action that he took that really made a difference in your life. Now, I'm kind of thankful that he's not here today, because I have a feeling there'd be like 50 people that would surround him after the church service. Oh, Pastor, let me tell you about how you made a difference. Give it a little time, but don't forget in a couple of weeks when he's back to be encouraging. And don't just make stuff up, obviously. You don't have to. There's plenty of stuff that we can encourage him with. Amen? So we want to pray. We want to protect. We want to encourage. What am I saying? We want to honor him as our leader who is worthy of honor. Double honor. I tell you, the quickest way to increase the blessing and anointing and favor of God on your life is to learn how to give honor and whom to honor. Let me say that again. If you're feeling like you're missing out on the blessing, you feel like things are just not moving in your life in a spiritual way, the quickest way to increase the blessing, anointing, and favor on your life is to learn to give honor and whom to honor. I tell you what, Visible Church, in my experience and others I've talked to, is known as a friendly church. You guys are warm, you're friendly, you come in and people are you just feel like you're welcome. Well, let it also be said that Visible Church is an honoring church, that we understand the importance of honor. Also, we want to honor prophetic ministry. Understand what I mean by prophetic ministry. Prophetic ministry is basically those to whom God has given a word for the body. Matthew 13, 57. It's talking about a time when Jesus was teaching. So they were offended at him, it says here in verse 57. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. The greatest hindrance to honoring prophetic ministry is familiarity. People who were very familiar with Jesus just couldn't really accept what he had to offer them. They were just too close. They just supposedly knew him too well. He was one of them. Don't let that be a part of how you, again, Pastor Ben is a great guy, a friend to all, easy to get to know, but don't neglect to honor the prophetic ministry that comes from him and others. Those who fail to honor prophetic ministry miss the blessing. If we go one more verse, we look at verse 58. It says, now, he did not do, talking about Jesus after this comment, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief, because they dishonored him, because they had no honor for him. They missed out on many of the blessings that other communities received. Miracle after miracle after miracle. They missed it. Jesus said, anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. That's in Matthew chapter 10. So what's the reward of the prophet? The prophet's reward is the ministry that the prophet brings. You will not receive the ministry of the prophet unless you receive him in honor. Honor draws out the best of their gifting. when they understand that you honor and respect what they're bringing to you, it just draws that much more out of them. You can be sure when we have a special speaker here, they are going to be worthy of honor. You know, Mike Carmody comes. He's worthy of honor. You should honor the word that he brings. And, you know, there have been those times when I've sat through special speakers and thought, well, that was okay. And then I had to correct myself. I need to reverence that word more. I need to dig deeper myself into what they had to share and take it more to heart. Reverence and honor for those who bring the word is important. When somebody comes here, you can be sure that they are worthy of honor. When we have a special speaker, they are worthy of honor. They are of the caliber worthy of your respect. You don't have to wonder about it. Pastor Ben is not going to bring somebody in who's a flake and a kook. You don't have to sit back and go, well, I'll just have to wait and judge this at the end. No, you can just relax and receive. You can relax and receive. Have you noticed whenever we do have a guest speaker, Pastor Ben will take a little bit of time and he'll introduce them and give you a little background for them and tell you that, you know, they've had an impact in his life in some way or another. Why is he doing that? He's not just trying to blow sunshine up their skirt and make them feel good. You know, he's not just trying to kiss up to them. He's trying to help you understand they are worthy of your honor, worthy of your respect, worthy of you hearing what they've come to bring. Don't allow yourself to become too familiar with them as well. Again, all of these people that we've had in, even his dad, friendly guy, he'd just come up to everybody. You know, I'm standing in the back room, and he just comes up, and he starts talking, and he's, that's great, but don't get so familiar with him that you think he's just one of the regular guys. I mean, he is, but he isn't. He's worthy of more honor than just one of the regular guys. And honor is also reciprocal. It's mutual in nature. By that, I mean, honor is a two-way street, right? Those who minister should be honored, and those who minister should honor those they are ministering to. What do I mean by that? Well, that means you give your best when you have an opportunity to minister. You're not taking shortcuts. You're not taking the easy route. You're going to put in the time necessary to do something that is going to be of value to the people that you're serving. So, you know, I worked all week on this message. I could have gone 10 different ways, and I just even this morning, I was cutting stuff out because I'm thinking, I've got too much stuff in there. I'm generally more a teacher than I am a preacher, and so when I do this kind of thing, I want to get everything about that topic in and just squeeze and make it all, and we'd be here for days. But, you know, I was working on this until 11 o'clock at night, and I got up at 4 this morning, and I was working on it because my week was just different than it normally was, and I didn't have the time earlier in the week like I normally would, but I wasn't going to say, it's good enough. I've got my notes. I could have just preached it on Wednesday. It wasn't good enough. I want to honor you with something that's worthy of, number one, a sharing of God's word and worthy for you to receive from it. Same thing with the worship team. They're giving their all, right? When they're up here, they should be honoring to you by making sure we are not taking the easy way out. We're going to practice. We're going to do the best that we can to the ability that God has given us. Same way with children's workers. You know, if you know my wife, she spent time. Her and Carrie actually meet together, and they work on this midweek to make sure that your children, those who are in that particular class, have something that is worthy of their being special people, right? We honor them because they have worth. So in ministry, we want to give our best as well. Now that I've got a whole lot more to go, I'm going to zip through. Even though I cut a bunch out, I'm going to zip through and make this go as quickly as I can. Another place to honor. Basically, I just want to cover some of those things that we want to make sure that we honor. Number, I don't know, three or four down the line here. We honor the king. And I mean that in not the literal sense, because we don't have a king, but our leaders, whether they're Republican, whether they're Democrat, you need to honor them. Well, you know, there are just some things about this particular president that I just can't tolerate. Well, 2 Peter 2:17, it says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Right after fear God, honor the king. I know that's hard, especially in our culture. Have you ever seen so much dishonor over politics in your life, over the leaders that are leading our country? I don't care what side of the fence you're on, there is more than enough dishonor to go around. That's not the way it should be. He says, fear God, honor the king. When that passage was written, the king he was referring to was Nero. And I'm not going to go into a long, sordid discussion about who Nero was. But he was basically a demon-possessed homosexual. And they were told to honor him. See, we are to honor our leaders because of the office they hold. We may not like their personality. We may not agree with their politics. But we do honor the position and the authority they hold. And I may do more on honor or authority next week. But one thing we know, the Bible is clear, all authority comes from God. And sometimes I don't like the way that authority looks, but I have to honor it. All right, your parents. Bible talks about honoring your parents. Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Oh, we still fall down so much in this area in our culture as well. We do not honor our parents as we should. We have to be reminded. We have to be reminded. We are reminded in Scripture because if you read through, it says, honor your father and mother in 8 separate scriptures in our Bibles. 8 different times. I think it's trying to get us a message. Honor your parents. And in fact, parents of children, you need to begin to train them to honor you and others like that. Because their training and how they perceive honoring others starts with you and in your home. When our kids were young, we were very careful about what we allowed them to watch. There was a program early on, you remember, now I can't remember his name, Tim Guy, the Tool Man, Home Improvement, yeah. And the last show that he had on was better than the first one, in our opinion, because when we'd watch Tool Time, the kids were pretty smart alecky. They always made fun of Dad. They always were putting Dad down. Same way with The Simpsons, that kind of show. We would not let our kids watch that. Why? Because we want them to understand honor for parents. If you don't teach them to honor you now, they aren't going to honor you later. We need to honor our parents and the elderly. Leviticus 19:32. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. We need to honor the elderly. And again, you may think, well, they're not worthy of honor. I know what they've done in their past. It just doesn't work that way. When our boys were young, when we first, you know, started up in this area, we met Brian and Amy. Our boys were young enough that we required them to call adults by their last name. So they know Brian and Amy as Mr. and Mrs. Mathis. And they're now in their upper 20s. And whenever we get together with them and we're talking about stuff back here, and we start talking about Brian and Amy, it's still Mr. and Mrs. Mathis. They don't call them Brian and Amy. They're Mr. and Mrs. Mathis. Why? Because they honored them. They respect them as their elders, and that's just never left them. You need to honor your wife, for those of you who have wives. Leviticus or 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, talking about your wife, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And of course, we could go over this whole thing for a long time, but we're running out of time. So I'm slipping along here, but I just want you to see what the Bible says about honor. You need to honor your wife. You need to honor widows. 1 Timothy 5:3, honor widows who are really widows. But we need to honor widows. They deserve our honor. We also, in 1 Corinthians 12, I told you I was going to zip through this pretty quickly. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 23 and 24, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. So those of us within the body, if you see somebody who might seem to be less than, you should honor them more. We honor them more. Those that we think to be less honorable, we should be honoring. I hope you're starting to see a little pattern here. Romans 12:10. It says, be affectionate or be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. So in the body, you should honor those in the body even more than those outside of the body. Brotherly love. For those in the body, let's honor them. And then back to 1 Peter 2:17, the first part of that says, honor all people. Is there anybody we haven't covered? We just hit all people. Honor is godly. Recognizing the worth of somebody, even because they are just merely a creation of God. They deserve honor. God honored them with his sacrificial gift. Amen? Oh, I'm glad that before I seemed honorable, God was honoring to me. And I'm glad that even now in you know, my life, when I'm not very worthy of honor, he still will honor me. And so we honor each other. We honor other people even outside the body, even those that we think don't deserve honor. There is a level of honor because of God's love for them that we need to uphold. And sometimes I find that difficult. I'll be the first one to admit it. Sometimes I find it difficult. You know, I run into people in the work that I do, and I just wonder, how in the world do you even, you know, live and breathe with as little as you are seemingly capable of doing and being because of their bad attitudes and their, you know, poor ethics and all. I marvel. But I always have to go back to the idea and the understanding. I need to portray the heart of Jesus. I mean, I can operate under my own feelings and my own desires, but I'm a representative of Christ. And how is he looking at them? It's easy for me to look at them with disdain. It's easy for me to dismiss them and think they're not worthy. But they are. They are more than worthy. And because Jesus found me worthy, I will find them worthy. I will honor them in whatever way I can. I'm not going to necessarily facilitate their sin, but I'm going to hold them in higher regard than I would on my own. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about honor, holding them in high regard, adding some weight to what we offer them. As we close the service, I just want to give us a moment to consider honor. Where are you in your life with this whole honor thing? It's like so much in the Christian life, I think we can get complacent. We can get, I hate to use the term lazy. I think it's just more complacent. You get so used to a situation, you don't reverence it anymore. You know, we get used to the people around us and we look at them as just normal folks. They are worthy of honor. They are worthy of respect. Some worthy of reverence. So let's be that kind of a church. Let's be those kind of people. As you looked in the mirror today and you thought about, how am I doing in the honor area? Well, if you saw that little green thing in your teeth, now's the time to start thinking how you're going to remove that. Amen? We want to have some prayer time. If you'd like prayer, and it doesn't have to be on this honor thing, if you'd like prayer for any need in your life, we have people of faith. I'll pray with you. They're up here to pray with you. Other people are available for prayer. Come on up and receive prayer for your need. We don't want anybody to leave and go, oh, well, they just seem like they were busy and I don't want to take their time and my thing is not that big a deal. Has anybody ever done that? Have you ever, you know, there's an altar call for prayer and you go, well, I probably should get prayer, but it's not that big a deal. I can wait until next week or Don't pass up a good opportunity. People are here, people who have faith, people who will join together with you and together pray for whatever that need is. Amen? As you go through your week, think about, again, who to honor. And again, I'll particularly point out Pastor Ben and his family while they're away. This is a good time to really consider. Maybe even after this message. Boy, I wish Pastor Ben would have preached. But consider what you might do in way of honor. And this is, for the most part, this is an honoring church. I don't want you guys to feel like, oh, Bill saw something and he's just, you know, wanting to hammer on the sheep while the pastor's away. No. I'm not saying that. But I know that all of us, myself included, can up our game, even if it's just a little. And I tell you, that's pleasing to God. When you take to heart what God says, that is pleasing to God. All right. If you need prayer, come up now. The rest of you are dismissed. Just be considerate of what might be taking place up front. Yeah.